I'm Tony Cox, and this is News and Notes. Rights for women and for American blacks have long been connected. Women helped to fight against slavery. After the Civil War, women began to fight for the right to vote. And they got that right 88 years ago today, when the 19th Amendment became part of the U.S. Constitution. Tonight, Hillary Clinton, the woman who's come the closest to being a mainstream party presidential nominee, addresses the Democratic Convention. What does Clinton's failed presidential bid mean for women voters today? And is her loss to Barack Obama dividing women by race? For more, we go to Denver and NPR's Farah Jadea. She is joined by Farah Jasmine Griffin, a professor of English and Comparative Literature and African-American Studies at Columbia University, Carol Jenkins, a former broadcaster and president of the Women's Media Center in New York City, and Eleanor Smeal, president of the Feminist Majority Foundation. Here's Farah.
Thanks, Tony, and it's so great to have all of you here.
Great to be here.
Thanks,
Farah. Good to be here.
So we've been talking to delegates, and I want to start out with a little bit of some of the women who are here. Emily Rushton was a Republican. Senator Clinton brought her into the Democratic fold. I asked her why she became inspired by the senator.
I'm always trying to find the most qualified person for those positions I'm filling. And likewise with Hillary, I saw her background, I've seen her ambition, I've seen everything that she's done and everything that she's accomplished. And placing people in jobs, same thing, placing her into the presidency, I really felt like she was the qualified person for the position.
Are you going to help formally put her name into nomination as part of your time here?
Absolutely. Yes, I will vote for Hillary on the roll call vote.
Given that she's unlikely to win that roll call vote, why is it important for you to still make your statement?
There were a lot of great people that came out to vote for me at the state convention to make it possible for me to be here. And I'm really representing them. You know, I'm here reflecting their vote and their wishes, and I want to make sure that that's announced to her and she knows that she has our support.
Eleanor, ultimately, Emily is behind Senator Obama, but what's your perspective on the role that Senator Clinton has played in this election and also her supporters? Is there rancor left, and what is the role for Senator Clinton as we move forward through this election?
Well, you know, it's almost a hackneyed because we keep saying it's an historic election, but it was. And it inspired people to get involved that haven't been involved. And so women all over this country volunteered hours and hours. They went to states. They did things they never thought they could do. So it helped crack that marble ceiling. That's true. And they became very emotionally involved, which is part of the whole process. And she inspired them. And I think that right now I'm feeling people are, they're determined to make a change. And I do believe that people will be united afterwards.
Do you think that for women, I mean, there are so many African Americans who feel they've waited for a lifetime for a black president. And there are a lot of women who feel that they've waited a lifetime for a female president. Do you think that this is it was a bitter pill, that it was an either or?
I don't think it was a bitter pill in this way. I mean, this is a team that is very progressive. This is the most progressive. I've worked on platforms since 76. This is the most progressive platform a major party has passed for women's issues and for civil rights issues. But for women, it's in every section of this platform. And his feminist committee is very, you know, I think that it's that the press and everybody doesn't get a picture that there were dedicated women's rights and feminist activists working on the Obama campaign from the beginning. And they, so they're there and they've been embedded. And so this is a very progressive platform. And I think that people see that. In fact, I think it makes it easier. It would have been horrible if this was a conservative, blue dog Democrat that was going to deny all the major planks that Hillary stood for. Instead, it's a very feminist, very pro-women's rights platform, and there are all kinds of women who have been working for him. And I think a speech like last night with Michelle just makes it even brighter for women. I just thought it was smashing last night.
Carol, you are both black and a woman, and as part of your work in media, how did you navigate telling the story of this election, what really struck you?
Well, what struck me was how inept mainstream media was in telling this story. We put together a viral campaign, Sexism Sells, But We're Not Buying, because people kept telling us that there was no sexism in the media. Mostly the media kept telling us we're not sexist. And it was only when we strung the clips together, when people could see and hear the sinister, you know, really demeaning remarks that were made, not only about Hillary, but about Nancy Pelosi and Michelle Obama and on-air women broadcasters, it was just outrageous. So I think that a lot of the anger and that's being expressed here in Denver comes from the way the media mishandled everything. And what has happened with Hillary's candidacy and with that sexism in the media is that the genie is out of the bottle. Women will no longer ever go back to that sort of place and stage where they weren't paying attention and weren't active and accepted just what came down the pike.
We found many different stories from other delegates. But let me tell you about Linnell Anderson. She was sipping margaritas with her husband, who was wearing a T-shirt reading, "The Right Man for the Job is a Woman." Now, she said she was turned off when Barack Obama called slavery America's original sin.
I wrote him and said, "Hey, Barack, you take that back and you stop this BS. What about the original sin of your countrymen, your African countrymen, who gathered you up and sold you to the slave traders? That's where the original sin lies. Now, is it wrong for one human being to abuse another one? You bet. They all have a special place in hell. But you cannot say that slavery was America's original sin. So you get responsible. You and Jeremiah Wright work on the cultural issues in the black community, and then you come back and tell us how to live."
Farah, when you think about the way that things played out in this election, it was one of these moments where you saw some unity and some fault lines. How do you think that the intersection of race and gender played out for white women and for black women, if you saw any trends? Not that everyone feels the same way.
Well, I think the most disturbing trend was our continued use of black and women, as if black women didn't fit into one or the other, right? One had to be black or one had to be a woman. Those were the most disturbing trends in the way we talked about this. I think that we saw some historic tensions that maybe we tend to think only emerge with this election, but that have been around since Reconstruction, since the amendments following the Civil War, that they were tensions that we'd hoped we'd resolved, but that in fact they bubbled to the fore again. And I also think one of the problems faced by black women was the sense that in choosing some of them, many of them supported Hillary, but those who supported Obama, that they were voting against their interests as women, when in fact they weren't voting for a man who wasn't progressive on gender issues.
These
were women, right, women who clearly were voting in their interests, both as women and as black Americans.
Briefly, let me touch on the historical issue before I move on to talk. I want to talk about Senator Biden. But historically, it seems as if black women kind of underwent a double suffrage. You know, there's the black vote enfranchisement and then the women's suffrage. Do you think that some of the tensions that even showed during the suffrage movement have been bridged?
Well, I think they resurfaced. They certainly resurfaced in ways. I mean, that we were able to work together over almost 100-year period, 80-year period, certainly, work very closely together. But some of those tensions did resurface once again. And it just shows us that there's still a great deal of work to do. But I think that all of the women that I know, the women that I've worked with over the years, have been committed to coming together, especially at this moment.
In fact, and Ellie and I were at Gloria Steinem's house one Saturday morning, trying to bridge that gap, trying to work through real anger at each other. And so staring at each other across the way saying, look, what's going on here? We have to be, when this is over, we all have to be together. Right. And I think we will be. But there were a lot of unkind things said, and a lot of people stopped talking to each other. But I think that increasingly we're beginning to get beyond that.
I think we know we have to, right?
I think that the reach out, too, and this is not being discussed, but it's, I have felt, the reach out from the Obama woman, the woman who were there, to us, it was instant. In fact, one good friend who had worked with for years called me up and said, oh, good. She said, now you can come and be part of the Women's Policy Committee. And the Women's Policy Committee of Obama is strongly feminist in women's rights. And you felt like we're all together. We've been fighting on the barricades together. And so I really feel that it's going to be okay. And frankly, I'm very anxious to get to the next stage. We got to win this election.
Speaking of the next stage, Joe Biden, what is his role? I mean, Senator Obama, when he introduced his running mate, made a point of stressing that Senator Biden had a strong women's issues record. Does he?
Yes. I think he does. I know he does. I've worked there. I've been in Washington working on these issues for several decades. And Joe Biden has worked with women's groups on the Violence Against Women Act and got to know a lot of us that way. But he also worked with us on the Judiciary Committee. We didn't always agree with him, but we met with him, and he's not only been receptive, but he's been a strong vote for women's rights on many, many issues. On Afghanistan women, he got the Afghan Women Empowerment Act passed. No one was able to get even hearings going on the convention, the Women's International Women's Treaty, because Helms sat on it. The minute Joe Biden became chair of the Foreign Relations Committee, he had hearings, and it got out of committee. Now everybody says, well, it didn't pass. But we don't have a progressive majority in that Senate. It takes 60 votes. Democrats don't even have, most times, a working majority. So, frankly, I know a lot of women who feel that if it wasn't for couldn't be Hillary, this was the best choice. And I have to say, as a person who's worked with him, this is an honest, good man who has worked very hard for women's rights.
But I interviewed some black women delegates, and Ellie had my ears pinned back yesterday saying, Joe Biden is the man. And I said, it's just that I've interviewed black women who said, what about Anita Hill? They felt that he, in those hearings, that he was not as effective as he could have been.
Yeah, but what I say to that is that, first place, he did vote against Clarence Thomas. There's a rumor that he didn't, and he did. But remember, there was a set of hearings where Anita Hill issue did not come up. He scheduled the second set of hearings. If he had been totally hostile to us, he didn't need to schedule that hearing where Anita Hill had her day in court. Now, I obviously was for Anita Hill. Please, I was in the front row working like a dog, and I wanted that vote and to make sure that Clarence Thomas was defeated. But at least we got the second set of hearings, well, and we did. I think it changed everything. And I wanted to tell you another thing.
See,
we passed the Civil Rights Act.
She's putting my ears back again.
Yeah, well, tell me, because we do have a couple more things to touch on. Do you think that he may be a mixed blessing for feminists?
Well, for feminists and for black people, only because he is a loose, or has been described as a loose cannon, and, he was the one who made the infamous comment about Barack being clean and articulate. Look, even the women who said, what about Anita Hill and what about those inappropriate remarks also said, well, if it couldn't be Hillary, it should be him because, he is the likeliest candidate. So I think going forward, it's an acceptable team, but there are some issues, and for those of us in the media, we can't wait for the next comment.
but just remember, on substance, he's right. Strongly for civil rights, strongly.
Right. Farah, we're seeing some interesting dynamics in the list of speakers. You've got someone from Planned Parenthood, but you've also got people who do not support abortion rights who are prominent Democrats. What do we see happening with the issue of reproductive rights at this convention?
Well, I think it was very interesting at the opening event, the faith event, there was both a anti-abortion demonstration within the audience, and then from the podium of faith leaders, someone who pronounced himself as a pro-life Democrat. So I think it's going to be very interesting in that the party is clearly trying to show that it's a place that's welcoming of diverse views and diverse possibilities. But I think that there will be more tensions than we are prepared to expect. This has been the party that has been most supportive of a woman's right to choose, most against state intervention in what a woman does to her body. And the people who are coming in now are welcome. It's a good place for them to have this debate. But It's very interesting to see how this is going to all play out, I think. It's going to be challenging for some of us.
So we're entering a bit of a speed round, but this is really what is crucial. In the same way, I think that other speakers, notably Michelle Obama, have been a pivot point. What do you want to hear from Senator Clinton, and what do you expect to hear? Carol first.
Well, my opinion is that no matter what she says and no matter how she tries to convert her followers and to support Obama, I agree with Marie Coco, the columnist, who says she can't win, that the media is going to beat her up for something she did or didn't say, some expression on her face. And, you know, I just think that once again, the media will step in to make whatever she does inadequate. And we just have to make sure that that we hold the media to some accountability to understand how they skew women's words and women's reactions, and it's a double standard that they hold them to.
Eleanor?
I think she'll knock a home run, and I think there won't be a dry eye in the place, but I do think it'll help rally and unify.
Farah?
Yeah, I think that she will be superb, extraordinary, like she always is, and I hope that we all come out there ready to help Obama win in November.
All right. Ladies, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Thanks.
That was Carol Jenkins, a former broadcaster and president of the Women's Media Center in New York City, Farah Jasmine Griffin, a professor of English and Comparative Literature and African American Studies at Columbia University, and Eleanor Smeal, president of the Feminist Majority Foundation. They spoke with NPR's Farah Chidea from our special NPR studio in Denver. That's our show for today. Thanks for tuning in. To listen to the show or subscribe to the podcast, visit our website, nprnewsandnotes.org. To join the conversation or sign up for the newsletter, visit our blog at nprnewsandviews.org. News and Notes was created by NPR News and the African American Public Radio Consortium. Tomorrow, she put 18 million cracks in the glass ceiling, but can she patch the cracks in the Democratic Party? We'll have reaction to Hillary Clinton's speech from Democratic strategist Donna Brazile and CNA Bureau Chief Robert Trainum. And blacks have served in the U.S. military since the Buffalo Soldiers, but how have African Americans in uniform paved the way for Barack Obama's historic nomination?